when the Word of God is open, there is a purpose and a reason behind it. After all, when we get to heaven, there will be no need for the Word as we have it right now, but we will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But so there is a purpose behind it. There's a reason why God is giving us the understanding, so that we might understand what the Scripture is presenting before us. And the first thing that I would suggest that all of us understand is that it will generate a response from my soul to God Himself. That's why the Word of God is so important. That the first thing when they heard the Word, that there was blessing God, and the whole company agreed with that by declaring the Amen and the Amen. So let's take hold of that. That one of the tremendous, profound purposes, so that the Word of God is given to us, so that I can respond to God. It generates fellowship with my blessed God. That it's not only Him now that is speaking to me through the Word of God, but it gives me this wonderful privilege to be able, for example, on Lord's Day morning, for those that are in practical fellowship, and those that might be considering to come into practical fellowship, that I have this privilege to respond to God Himself and be able to stand up with the company and bless the blessed God. The second wonderful feature of having the Word of God in our hands and being understood by all is it exposes our hearts. It exposes me. But, James said, it's like a mirror. Listen, if you want to know where you are, if you want to know how you look as a Christian, I'm not talking about the outside appearance, but where is your condition as a Christian? Listen, don't go to brethren and let them evaluate. It's not an evaluation of the brethren. Although sometimes the way we live is seen amongst the brethren. But the best evaluation that we see here from the book of Nehemiah is that it is the Word of God that caused us to weep and mourn. So that's another aspect of the importance of the Word, because it exposes our hearts. But listen, how wonderful it is that Nehemiah was one of those that have told these brethren, if you will, not to weep and not to mourn. And when you open the first chapter of this book, he was the first one to weep and to mourn, to fast and to pray. So what does the Word of God teaches me? The Word of God has another lesson that it teaches me. That there is time for everything. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for confession. There is a time also to rejoice in the things that we understand from the Word of God. And that's what we have to keep things in perspective. That the same man who was weeping and mourning for the condition was also the same man who said, listen, enough weeping, enough mourning, now it's time to rejoice. So here comes the scripture. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that are rejoicing. So this is the greatness of the Word of God.
And that is what makes that book unique. It is a living book. Now, how many times have you ever heard of somebody said that when I read the chemistry book, boy, I changed my life completely. I stopped doing bad things and I start doing good things. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Forget about the chemistry book. How about the biology book? Well, how about the history book?
He wept.
He wept when he saw the grade.
But this is a fact that it's not an old book. It's a living book. And it does have impact on our hearts. That's why it is important to keep in mind, and maybe you should write it down in your Bible, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. For many, many, many years, Satan desired very strongly to hide that book from the people, to make it in a language where nobody could understand. Now, I am sure if I ask every one of you, how many Bibles do you have? I am sure every one of you will say, that you have more than once. You got it for your birthday, you got it for Christmas, you got it as a present. You have many, many Bibles. These people probably the only person that have a book there was Ezra. And they all were anxious to hear the word of God read, because it is a living book. But I don't want us also to realize that it's a sense of duty that we're going to read it. It's a sense of duty that, well, I have to read it. Now, how many of you felt a sense of duty to eat? Like, oh, man, I have to eat now. How many feel sense of duty about going for supper or breakfast? How many feel that way? Nobody. Everybody loves to eat. They go and they could not get all you could eat. That would be great. Well, here it is. All you could eat. And you could eat it over and over and over and over again. And it's sweeter than honey. And it is meat. And it is milk. And it has all the nutrient that you want. It's not just a matter of, oh, I have to read my Bible now. Well, we were told that we need to read the Bible. You're going to have that desire to read it. And the more you read it, the more you discover how sweet, how good it is. It changes people's life. And it will change your life, as we have heard. It exposes our hearts. And it gives us a sense of what to do when. You know, see people out of timing sometimes? They speak when they are not supposed to speak. And they be quiet when they are not supposed to be quiet. And they rejoice when they are supposed to be mourning. And they are mourning when it's supposed... They are out of timing. If you are playing a music instrument and you are out of timing, they will kick you out of the band. You want to be in time with everything? It's reading the Word of God. You know when to speak. You know when to be quiet. You know when to do certain things. You know when you're not to do certain things. It's keeping in the Word of God. Giving an instruction, because it is the voice of the Lord.
And I think an important point, too, is that this was a day that was holy unto the Lord. You know, sometimes we, and it's important for us to see things from our perspective as to how important the Word of God should be to our hearts. But the reason why they were not to weep or to mourn, it says very clearly here in verse 9, it says, this day is holy unto Jehovah your God. In verse 10, it says, the end of verse 10, they were to take portions unto them that from whom nothing was prepared, for this day is holy unto Jehovah, neither be ye grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you imagine how thrilled the heart of God was when the people were recovered in their hearts as to what they were missing? I think someone mentioned earlier, you know, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Your parents can bring you to the meeting, or you can come out of obligation and you be 1,000 miles away. But when God sees that your heart has that understanding that we spoke of before, this understanding that reaches the heart. And when God sees that the words that you've been hearing have now made its way down into our hearts, and we have the understanding of what we hear, and the Word of God is prominent, it's placed in its a central place before us, God rejoices. So it was a day that was marked as holy unto God, because the people had now recalibrated, reshifted their thinking, and the Word of God was central again. And God didn't want us, He didn't want the people at this point to mourn, oh, look how bad we are. No. He didn't want us to grieve because of the sins of the fathers. He wanted there to be rejoicing because our hearts and the hearts of the people were in line with His hearts, and that the book of the law was now recovered. You see, young people, there's going to be failure. There's going to be falling away in every heart, in every life. There's going to be coldness that sometimes comes in. But when, you know, when we don't give up and we remain around the Lord, the Spirit of God brings about this, you know, revitalization. He energizes us. And we say, you know what I've been missing? It's really the simplicity of the Word of God. It's hearing it. It's doing it. It's honoring God. it's worshiping him, because, you know, worship came here first. We kind of, Jesse mentioned that, and we kind of passed over that. But they worshiped God first. Mm-hmm. And then they got the sense of the book. Mm-hmm. And then there wasn't to be this weeping, there was supposed to be joy, because there was joy in the heart of God that this book had now been returned to the central place, not just physically, but in the hearts of his people.